run over, beginning of this short visit with John Turner, this Thursday, the 4th of October, 73, channel run over, and in the beginning of the visit with John Turner, and his wife is out in the car. He brought us some peas this Thursday, the 4th of October, 73.
Cane.
Yes, oh.
Well, how do you fix a cane? How do you do the cane? Just cut it and throw it over to the. How do you say you fed it to the hogs?
You cut it. You see, you have your tractor or something, and you cut so much what you want to feed them. That like you want to give them a feed.
Yeah.
And cane, throw it over in there to them.
Well, John, I never saw any that big.
Yeah. Well, if you get a start of that in here and get it growing, he'll find out his cows. I mean, they like it. Cows like
will they eat it that big?
They'll eat it. They'll eat it. That's right. They used to put that in there, in them banks for cows. They'd cut it all up in a little mill. I hear the thing, and cut it up, and they'd put it in them, I call it banks.
Oh, like silage.
Yes, that's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right.
And then feed it to them.
Feed it to them through the winter.
Never heard of doing that.
You had that thing with grind it up, Mr. Shan. You remember Mr. Bill Shan?
Yeah.
He the one had that thing out on the muck. And that's what they'd grind up that cane. We used to cut that cane out there and haul it up there on tracks and just grind it up. And then they had a big thing dug out and then put a top on it and put that sand on top of that. And then you dry right down under there and put it down under there and then shit it up down under there. And in the winter, that's what they fed the cows. That's all they used to feed him. But labor got so high.
Yeah.
Till he couldn't afford it, not the high labor, but like a person that's got a few cattle and things like that, he could do it.
And he put this in a pit in the
That's
ground.
Right, that's right. Call it a silo.
Uh-huh, that's except it didn't go up in the air.
That's right, it wasn't that kind going in the air. It was one of them kind that they dug out under the ground. Dug a big thing down in the ground, a deep place, and had it where you could put the stuff up under there and then cover it up and shit it up. You open the door to get it out and you wanted to feed.
And they could drive the truck in.
That's right. Back down under there and load it up and come out.
Did you do some work for Mr. Chan? Or did you?
A little bit, long time ago. I used to help cut that cane. I used to go out there and had it on the muck. And that's where we cut it. Had some on the pine land and some on the muck. Some on the sand and some on the muck. That was on that muck would grow so long and so tall that you couldn't hardly handle it.
I bet it would.
Mm-hmm.
Just muck.
That's right. We had to dream that lake over there. See, they got a place over there on the other side of Island Grove. We had to dream that lake. And grudged it and cut canals all through there. And they dreamed that lake where they grow that celery out there.
Is that where they planted in the muck?
Yes, ma'am.
It wouldn't have to plow it, would it?
Yeah, they do. They had to plow it and keep applying it to keep them, as the weed and grass are covered up. They see it grow faster than the plant if you don't hurry and wake it. But it didn't hurt that cane. Because they put the rows wide enough that it could run the tractor down between the rows. Instead of this, and that kept it clean.
Yeah. Well, I think you've worked about everywhere, haven't you?
Sure, all kind of weight. All kind.
But I've seen cane little like that, you know.
Yeah, they got that kind too. I got a little bit of that too. If you get a start of it, you could get a start of it with about 100 or 200 stalks and plant it. It's almost ruined planted. Before the frost hits it. See, the frost will kill the eye if you let it stay out under the dirt. But after you once get it started, the root will come out from the root every year.
Well, we're ready to just pass peas. Here we all are ready to eat.
Yeah, you're right. And I'm ready to.
Well, how did you ever? How did you happen to get into so many things?
By going around waking going around, waking and going and looking. I gotta try to get a a whole lot's done right on, look like. I had to pick some oranges and all directly.
Oh, you mean you had soup for the season?
The season just seemed to start pretty quick now.
Gonna pick for Mr. Dufunny?
No, I'll pick for the man I wait for on the first.
Yeah.
And get him out of the room, and I get through with him, then I go other places. I'm trying to get you started with that cane. You don't like to grow cane for your cows?
Yeah.
You want to get started with it?
Yeah.
I'll get you some seed if you want it.
All right.
I sure will. But you had to get it for that freeze, for the freeze hit it, you know.
Yeah.
Bank it. You can bank it and then plant it afterwards. Or you can plant it right now for the frost hit it.
Okay.
And it'll come up. Mm-hmm. If you ever get that, a patch of that start, don't need but a row or two of it, not to get, you get a slow start.
Yeah.
And from then on, you can just keep spreading out until you get one of the old whole, one of your whole lots in it, and you won't have to worry about no hay or nothing for the winter.
You just don't have to worry anymore.
That's right. You got it. That's what Mr. Crosby and Mr. Shan, that's all they used to give their cows. And the other, they'd give them a little of that other feed, you know, or something, or some salt from the lake. But that's what they used to keep their cows up on.
Yeah. Well, now, let me tell you, I've got a steer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he weighs 500 or 600 pounds.
Yeah. What you going to do with him?
Well, I'm going to trade him off, I guess.
Oh, God.
I was aiming to make some meat myself.
Sure.
But I don't have any place to put it.
You got a deep freezer, ain't
you?
No. And my wife hadn't sold me until she went and bought a brand new one here. About,
yeah.
I think we about half soup paying for it.
Yeah.
By the month, you know.
You ought to have that steer. You could.
But you want a heap of money for that steer, no?
Well, they cost me, yeah.
Yeah.
They cost much an automobile.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about, yes, sir. How much you would sell him for those showing up, really?
He wouldn't sell for about any more than 50 cents. And he might not bring that much at that size, you see.
Yeah.
He might bring... I haven't kept up the market, have you?
No, so I sure haven't, not lately. Sure haven't.
Well, your deep freeze, you see,
yeah.
If you had some, if you had a little meat over there, and you could go in with somebody, you see, somebody furnish the meat and you furnish the deep freeze.
Yeah, but they're funny, they don't want to do that. This kid, I might eat too much of the meat. And how much you pick for the steer? Just tell me that. That's what I want to find out.
Well, I haven't looked around to see how much you got in your pockets yet.
Oh, goodness. You don't know. I might could get something. If I ain't got it in my pocket, I might could go get something, a little something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A couple of pear trees?
No, I'm trying a little change. Money.
Oh, you mean you don't carry much with you?
I don't, ain't got that much put up neither, but I can do a little something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now, he is a pretty good steer. He's not the first quality.
I understand.
And I don't know whether you'd want to, you might, see with your family, you might want to get the first quality.
No, what you talking about? Listen to him now. I tell you kill him and trim him down and give me the bones, sell me the bones and see when I buy them with, you know, them big pieces you cut out.
Yeah.
I buy that, so I got to have the fancy.
Yeah. Anything to keep from eating spaghetti.
That's right. I got a great big hog over here, but he'll be about 300 pounds there.
Yeah.
A berry.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put him in that place and get him cured for bacon if I can.
Yeah. Are you going to put him in the freezer or are you going to smoke him?
I think I'll have him smoked.
Yeah, it tastes better.
Yes, sir. Then I have some peas or greens. I'll just throw some of that and cook it and clean it off and cook it. And then throw my greens in there and cook them a while and then I'll have some to eat.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, John, I had that steer in mind. I didn't know whether you'd be interested or not. You know what?
Yes.
Here you are. You've had ups and downs and all like that.
I sure have.
But you never have had to worry about getting a little meat to eat. You see.
No, not too bad.
And here you come along and you got more money than you ever had, and you got less to show for it. Now what about that?
You just see as the saying told me, it's your right. It sure is.
And furthermore, it's all a struggle.
It sure is, all the time. All the time.
Just constant struggle.
You ain't joking. Maybe I just need to settle down and just forget about a heap of it, you know? And go to one place and wait, and just wait. And then after a while, maybe I'll overcome.
Well, I'm in worse shape than you are, you see. And I don't know any way to get out of it. I think everybody's about in the same shape.
Yeah, that's right.
But what I think about is the way you come along, you see, when you was young,
man,
you didn't have any of them worries.
Man, you ain't joking. And had a plenty too to eat and things.
Yeah.
Sure did. And but I done the wake though. I wake. But I didn't get nothing for the wake. Now I done got where I ain't hardly able to do the wake to get nothing.
Yeah.
And I got to hurry now while I got two or three children there to help me try to get a little something. When they get it, then they'll take it all from me, won't
yeah,
they?
No.
No.
Well, now you take them times when you was talking about walking on the railroad.
That's right. I walked, man, miles and miles. I slept all in the woods. Just bung up under a tree somewhere and go to sleep. Hunting a job and couldn't buy one.
Yeah. Yeah,
couldn't buy a job. No, couldn't get a job, no kind of it.
Well, all you had to do, nobody's going to bother you.
Mm-hmm.
All you had to do was just get out off the railroad and go out there in the woods.
Yeah, that's what I done. Me and old boy stopped one night. It was cold in the winter time. We were down there between Kissimmee and Haines City.
Yeah.
And we got in one of them hammocks and we went to sleep. A man stopped by and told us that bears and panthers was in there.
Yeah.
Hammock. And we made up a fire and stayed there and slept. Chairs and roadmen would stop by and tell us, boys, y'all don't know what y'all doing. So them bears and panthers will eat y'all up in the swamp. And we was in there sleeping, main side of fire sleeping. Oh my, I went through something. These young fellas don't know nothing.
Did you hear any sound?
I hear things, but I didn't pay no attention, you know, till they told me that, and then I went to pay attention. So we got up in there and we leave them in that boy. There's another boy.
After they told you that, you could hear sounds all
along. All along the road then. I looked like I could see them very much.
But let me tell you, I was thinking about that last night.
Yes, sir.
I was thinking about that last night, John. I must have done that in my sleep.
Yes.
I was out just walking by myself, right in the middle of the day and in the middle of the night. And I wasn't afraid of a thing.
That's right.
There wasn't a thing that gonna bother me.
That's right.
And you see now, I'm a little cautious about walking along the road by myself.
You ain't joking. You know the people done got, if they say now, them things, them vomiting things, they ain't gonna bother you that bad. But them, the people are so bad.
Yeah.
People is so bad these days. Every time they pick up a paper, somebody done knocked somebody, done stole the money, done snatched the purse. Oh, that's all that kind of stuff.
I wished I could remember now. I must have dreamed that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Back there where I was brought up, I could walk to town in the middle of the day and stay in for the picture show, sat around the courthouse, and walk back right in the middle of a dark road and wasn't nothing gonna bother me.
That's right. I used to walk through them dark places and things and wouldn't think of nothing, but I'm sort of afraid of it now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm, sure is. I used to hunt all around all the lake in the night by myself. I had a dog, one dog, a German Shepherd, and the three coons all up them trees. They wouldn't bark to the tree. He'd run off on you, and when you hear him, he'd say, oh, you can go down there, it's a coon down there, a possum one.
Yeah.
And he'd tree all night like that, and I'd just walk all night around that lake with my rifle and my headlight, and nobody but me. I had a flashlight. I'd shine the flashlight, and I didn't want to use that other light. And Buddy and him say, I'd go home sometime. One morning, I'd go home with 12 possums, 4 or 5 coons, and all like that.
And there's plenty of where you
go. Oh, and go right back long in a night or two and catch that many more going along there. Sure would.
Yeah.
And them saw shells and them hard shell cooters, I had them by the barrels with them. I'd clean them and put them in an ice box then. Didn't have nothing but ice. You'd chip that ice in big pieces and lay that meat all in there.
Yeah.
I lived too long then, too. Pretty good. But they fenced up all them lakes now. You can't go in them.
Well, there's nothing in them anyhow, but this old
armadillo
grass, what they call it.
Oh, yeah, that old pony grass.
Yeah.
Well, I got them peas. You know Mr. Wolfmar? You know, Wolfmar in Gainesville. Wolfmar grocery store.
Oh.
I told him I'd be there by 12 or 12:30. I reckon I better go get them peas. It's about late now.
Oh, you're taking them to Gainesville?
Yeah, about 5 crates to Mr. Wolfmar. You know where Mr. Wolfmar is?
Hmm.
Oh, you know where the county jail?
Yeah.
You know that little store? You come across the little railroad and go right up there in that big store, that's Mr. Wolfmar.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's Mr. Wolfmar. Uh-huh. So I'm carrying them peas to him. But he didn't ask for no greens, so I'm just not carrying them 6 crates or 5 crates, he said, of peas. He called me, and I told him I'd be there about that time, so I reckon I better try to get over there before you think I ain't coming and buy from somebody else, you reckon?
Yeah.
And I want to know what you want for the stair. You ain't never told me, did
you? Well, let me tell you. You coming back this way?
I was thinking of coming by Hawthorne.
Well.
Sandy to come by Hawthorne.
You don't have to. You come back, I just let you see him.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have time to see
him. I just had to take the one day and come over here and see him.
I'll get you some money, John.
Well,
yeah, don't get that much now. That's a little bit to help get gas, that's all. Don't give me no heap of money. And the heap of money don't do me no good, no harm.
Yeah, let me tell you, John, I just thinking about what a time we used to have.
Sure,
you
right.
You was ahead of me. You done better than I did.
Mm-hmm.
And we just didn't appreciate it.
You ain't joking. That's right. That's right.
Well, you could go to them camp meetings and revivals and things like that. And yeah. Just like going to county fair there.
That's right. Still right. You're right.
You see, you know all them people?
That's right. That's right. You ain't joking.
You could listen to the preaching and you could also listen to your friends.
That's right. Yes, sir. I reckon my wife think I'm going in here instead. She out there. You didn't know it?
Oh, is she?
Yeah. And I told her I'd come back and go on over and kick them things to that man.
Yeah.
She want to be back when the children come out of school. They already got me running. I don't know which way to go sometimes.
Oh yeah, you got appointments to make. You got to be there at certain times.
Yeah, over to the store.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'm too.
Yeah.
I go around by Hawthorne. The man I used to work for in Hawthorne. Well, I told you, give me that old international truck.
Yeah.
You see, one of his brothers died in Oakfield. That been a year ago. So the other, about a week ago, his other brother died. With that all that big grove down on all them satsumas and on you, he died now.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, what happened to the truck?
I got the old truck to my house. Don't even know what he gave me. It run. It crank up and run good.
Oh, he gave it to you?
Gave it to me. With all them new tires on it. Got them snow grip tires on it. On the back of it. That's a good one, too. That's a good one. He gave it to me.
You really got something there.
Yeah, sure. He gave it to me.
that'll last you from now on, won't it?
It sure will. That's a good old truck. Yes, sir.
But you never had anything like that?
No.
In them days when you was walking the track?
It sure didn't give me nothing like that. Didn't give me a mule to ride. Less more than that.
Yeah.
No, sir.
Well, John, that was like a new truck almost.
You're right.
Sure looks solid.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, what'd you do in the 20s? You have a better time in the 30s than you did in the 20s?
Yeah, sure did.
That's curious, isn't it?
It sure is. It sure can.
Well, one reason why is you see there wasn't much to do.
That's right.
And if you had a roof over your head and a few peas to eat, You had all your time.
And I was in I was standing in the old house, and when it rained, I had to get up in one corner to keep from getting wet, and I had to roll a bed up in the corner till it stopped raining.
Yeah.
Sit up all night in the corner or something. It was raining inside, and all of it. You just have to be outside in there.
Yeah.
You ain't never been in that shit.
I've had many a leaky roof.
Yeah, I have had.
I haven't had one quite that much.
Well, I had the most bad we had. And you couldn't buy tin, you couldn't buy nothing. You buy that old roof and put it up there to wind and get under it and whoop it and tear it up.
Oh, it
was. Well, I tell you, I'm going to come back and see what you want for that stair before you get rid of
him. Well, I'm going to have to move him. I can't keep it much longer. Now that I...
So what about me coming by here on the weekend and see what you...
John, I don't know. I don't know just how long I'm going to keep him. You see, the first chance I get to move him, I let him go. And I can't hold him.
That's right.
Because I don't want to spend $10 just to get him up to the livestock market.
No, no.
So...
I tell you, you study over and I'll come back and let me know what you want for him. Another fellow might buy him together and we'll have him butchered. And we'll let him have a part of it and I'll have a part of it.
Yeah.
If I ain't got enough money, he got some money.
Let him have the front leg and you take the rest.
Yeah. Yeah. As fast as I get the money, I owe people, I had to pay them. I get a little money, but as soon as I get... My septic tank got stopped up the other day.
Oh, bad.
Know what the man charged me to come pump that out?
Don't tell me.
Man, I let him fill out, and he got to him and told me what I owed him. What do you reckon he charged me?
I don't want to know.
I do, John.
$50.
I don't want to know.
Just to pump that out, $50.
I didn't hear a word you said.
$50.
Oh.
And told me that was the cash price.
Let me tell you.
And I had $50 in the house, and I went in there and got it, and I like to cry. And everywhere I go, the people say, he overcharged you.
Let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you. The last time I got a septic tank here, too,
mm-hmm.
and it's been several years since I had that pumped out,
mm-hmm.
and he was a personal friend of mine, and he gave me a reduced rate, and even way back then, it was $25.
Yeah.
Yeah, $50 was pretty close to going price then. That's costly. Yeah, sure
is doing, but
well, I don't blame you.
I have had it done though for $25 and $35. But they went up
but maybe that was somebody you knew.
Yeah, it was. It was a man working there that I knew and he'd do it.
Well, you didn't have any expense like that back in the '20s and thirties.
Sure didn't.
What's wrong with outhouse?
That's what I want to know. We used to build them and put them little pipes behind them and dig that and put that concrete down in the ground and stuff. And there wasn't no trouble.
What's wrong with that?
I don't see nothing wrong with it.
Plant a little bush in front of it.
But when I had them to build that house, they put all that in it. That's to get your money, all that stuff. Mr. Ma, I'm going to have to run.
It's like these tractors. You can't buy a little old Ford tractor like I got. You gotta buy one of them big ones, you see, but it's got a cushion in it that goes swish.
That's what they say, uh-huh. But I want me a little. You gonna sell me that?
You can't get one.
You gonna sell me that?
Ain't anybody got one that's gonna sell it.
I said, would you sell me that?
What would I do with the money? I'd pay it on my bill somewhere, then I wouldn't have nothing.
It's clear to you.
I'm just the same shape you're in.
I know where I'm going to get me one. I know where to go get me one.
Where you going to get it?
In Georgia.
I'll bet you.
I'm going in Georgia with a fella. He told me he got a truck to bring two back. He told me he's going up there one day pretty soon now.
Yeah.
He harvesting hay now. But he told me as soon as he get that hay and they about cut up with, he got to take a trip up there and want me to go with him.
Yeah.
If I go up there and find me a good and reasonable leg, I'm going to get it.
What do you mean reasonable? What would you give for this?
Something like $500 or $600.
That'd be the least you get, and then when you got it here, you'd have to
overhaul it. You're about right. It's about wide up on that end.
You can't buy any piece of machinery, you see, that's been used that ain't ready to be overhauled.
The man talking about giving me that back, you know that now I told you I sold?
Yeah.
He said he spent $600 on that truck and said he don't want it. And it's run good and everything. A one-row farm over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he told me...
You had that?
Yeah.
And sold it?
Crazy.
Well, it sure was.
$300.
Just give it away.
And run it all day long. And it would pull that big body. I had one of them distillers.
Yeah.
With them two blades.
Yeah.
And that thing would, that's it gonna turn, it'll turn that grass and weeds out there, you wouldn't see it no more. Turn it under.
Well, I would die.
Yes, sir.
Well, you deserve to be hungry.
You ain't joking. No. I got hungry and then give the tractor me to get something to eat. I'm telling you now. I got tough. I sure did. Then after I sold the tractor, I cried.
Well, you them folks over there where you live, have they all got your number? They won't.
They don't bother with you much.
they know you too well.
Yeah. This kid, I might look like they're afraid I might get something, you know? It shouldn't be that way.
You might get a hit or something like
hey,
that.
Listen, I'm getting ready for the potatoes now. Don't you back up on me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I got, you know the bushes of potatoes I told you I found to the sink hole?
Yeah.
All right, I plant them.
Yeah.
They done grow a vine along with me out of that dough.
Yeah.
But the way I'm going to do them, I'm going to save the whole potato.
And
let it come back out. I'll have vines enough. Me, you're gonna have some potatoes.
Okay.
If you let me put them up on there, with that place will make them.
That place up there will make them.
Yes, sir. Cause
that's the kind of ground they want.
You know what they give me? Three sweet potatoes about that big around and about that long. Dollar and a half.
I wish you could tell them you things like that.
Dollar and a half. I said I don't want to eat them. And I told my wife I don't eat them more.
Well, let me tell you, John, what I'm trying to do is get your mind off on something pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 20s and 30s, when you was poor as Joe Stecky, you still had plenty of sweet potatoes.
That's right, I sure did. Sure did.
You had plenty of them common things to eat,
yeah.
but what you wanted was something special.
Yeah, that's
back
right.
Then.
That's right. I'd buy 15 cents worth of sugar and couldn't hardly use up the sugar.
Yeah.
I'd buy a sack of flour for little or nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And grits. They'd give you the salt. They'd give you the salt, but they
yeah.
don't give it away no more.
Well, you can't even find salt that's salty.
No, sir.
I tried to find some salt that had a little salt in it.
You ain't you.
Well, you can taste it, you know, and this loose salt, you know,
that's right.
You can taste it, and it don't even make your mouth water.
That's right. Did the man ever pick his peas?
No, but I'll tell you one thing he has done.
Yeah.
He's had that plane buzzing over my house twice.
And you know that old, what, Johnson grass?
Yeah.
That thing that high in there, all crossing them peas.
Yeah.
He won't find them directly.
If you don't, how long are you going to have to wait?
Yeah, I ain't seen no peas on them. I thought they had done pick them, but I don't see nothing on them.
Oh, no, he hadn't. Nobody been over there picking. He's still springing them.
I didn't have to do nothing to them. I've raised them.
No.
Nothing. Just plow them.
Well, you see over there, that ground wore out. People had that and never fertilized much. And
that's right.
Just farm it twice a year. And they were arrested, and now he's such a smart fellow, you know.
Yeah.
You know him.
Yeah, I know him.
He's smart.
Yeah, he gotta get by, but he won't get by long. He got to do something.
He figures he can do it. Other people might not do it, but he can.
Yeah.
Do you ever run across people like that that's so smart?
Whole lot of them. There's a whole lot of them. Yes, and I run across a heap of them.
And you see, by the time he gets them peas picked. Look at the money he'll have in them. They don't run them airplanes for nothing.
Not for nothing. No, they sure don't. See, when I did have to dust mine, you know what I done? Took me a crocus bag right down the road.
Yeah.
Right on down the road.
Just
all up and down,
right
the road.
Down the road.
That's right.
Yeah. Just
and,
in your hand.
And if the blend was blowing that way, I'd skip one row in there and come down the next one. And just blow it on the next one, I'd skip another row.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. he got to get the airplane, caution the drug to do that. Well, I'm going to go Mr. Miles and make it to Mr. Wolf Miles' store, and I'm going to come back over here, I reckon, about the weekend.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not necessarily here on the weekend. That's my bad time, John.
Oh, my, well.
Why don't you just slip over here at some odd hour?
All right.
You're going home after a while, you see, something like that. During
all
the
right.
week's my best time.
All right, then. All right. Well, I'll stop by there and see.
But you better, I'm having a circulator right smart now. Well, you just happened to catch me here this morning.
All right, then. I'll stop by then when I come along.
Now let me tell you. Mm-hmm. You see, in the 20s and 30s, you didn't have to make connection with people.
Sure didn't. Got to do it now if I want to live better.
Well, now look what it does to you.
Yeah. Run you to death.
You see, you got that on your mind all the time.
Sure right. You ain't joking. Your mind ain't on nothing else, but just go and get that. You know?
Yes. And get over there in time to see a fella about something.
That's right. You
and then
joking.
He may not be there, and you got to catch him again.
That's right. You ain't joking. All right. Well, I'll come by then.
Gentlemen, over around 500 or 600, and the end of the visit with John Turner, this Thursday, the 4th of October, 73. This Thursday, the 4th of October, 73, Channel 1 over, around 500 or 600, and the end of this short visit with John Turner. This Thursday, the 4th of October, 73.
Might run somebody else, but he won't run you.
Oh, Potatoes.
I told Coleman they were up pretty big. He said, I said, I guess we're going to have some potatoes, Coleman. He said, don't say that yet. But I've seen him make lots of vines and no potatoes. He's not a man to say that. Going to have potatoes.
But he said that was good luck.
To name him after, I guess he couldn't believe Freddie had a bull from Irish Bowling. That's what he was laughing about. I don't know. I asked. Fred said somebody used to have a bull. I've forgotten who it was. Used to have a bull. It was so mean. He, the man that owned him, had to go into the pasture with a shotgun and pepper the bull every time he went in there. The bull would run him.
Oh.
He said that was the kind of bull he wanted.
I know how you feel.
He wants people to stay out of his pasture, and he wants a mean bull.
Yeah, that'd be fine if you could pick it up. That was the old Jersey bulls that were mean.
Guernsey, he said that this one was, I think. I didn't know that dairy bulls were that mean.
I didn't either. I never associated with Guernsey bulls. I don't know that I ever saw a Guernsey bull.
I was sitting here right now. You know, I don't know that I ever saw even a Jersey bull, but I know I never saw a Guernsey bull.
Yeah. It's been a long time since I had either one, I guess.
And down here, I don't know.
That's just a whole void in my mind. Mm-hmm. I can't think of it.
That man that lives over across from Eddie's has got Jersey cattle. Whatever his name is, he's German.
Yeah.
We saw him at the station one day, and he had the most beautiful cow I've ever seen in the truck. He's got some kind of permit from the state to sell these dairy cattle and then set up family dairy production, so that everybody will have a cow.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. He told me I could buy this cow. I told him she sure was pretty.
Yeah.
He's the one who told me you should scratch a cow right on the top of their tail.
Oh.
That was the only place they couldn't reach.
Oh.
You scratch a cow there and she'll be your friend, he said.
Phyllis sat up and hit a big cabin program too.
How'd she like it?
Oh, she just said all the way through it, and she said, but she was sorry to say that she had been sleeping for 3 days. What time was it on?
11:30 to 1.
You mean it's a regular program, and people listen to it at that time?
It's on every night, 11:30 to 1. Weeknights. I don't think it's on the weekend.
I'd like to hear that a little that over again. Now that was what's the girl's name?
Catherine Hepburn. You know what? I was thinking about that today a little bit. I was thinking that they'll probably rerun it. Because it was such a special thing. I mean, they won't rerun it for a while, but I'm sure they'll eventually rerun it. Rerun the whole thing. Not Catherine Hepburn.
But that was the movie business.
When it was the movie business.
In the days when those movie people were...
It was the days before stuntmen. I think that they didn't have such fantastic stunts in movies as they do now.
Yeah.
And the actors and actresses could do it themselves, as far as I could tell. I mean, you know, it wasn't too much to ask her to learn how to ride side saddle at a dead gallop. Whereas today, they'd have a stunt person do it. So of course, the minute you have a stunt person do something, you can't have close-ups with the camera, unless they look a lot.
But your other statement seemed to carry it a little better than that, about the stunt thing.
About? The way movies used to be, the way the actors used to go all over the world,
yeah.
Following them.
Yes, and just live on the side of the land, whatever you call it, however you call it.
They just lived wherever they went.
Yeah. Well,
like she said she used to know everybody in the villages. Or, well, she knew everybody in those African villages when they made the African Queen. But anywhere they went to make a movie, she'd know everybody in the town by the time she left. She liked that instance. I love that instance of her changing clothes in everybody's house when she made Summertime. She never had a dressing room. She just changed in the hall of anybody's house.
How about that? Well, that was the point of it.
Yeah, it wasn't
dressing.
She didn't want to take time to go to the dressing room and dress.
Oh.
She wanted to be doing other things until it was time to go to work. And so she arranged it so that she could just change in a house on the way to work.
Oh.
She just knock on a door and change in the hall.
Because she knew everybody.
Yeah. If she didn't know them, they'd let her do it anyway.
They know her.
And she wanted to be out in the village.
Or the town or wherever
town,
she was. Yeah. Yeah, she was the one that got, that they were going to sell the tree for. She got to know all the wood carvers in that African village, and they wanted to sell the tree for her. And it was only because she drank the water that she couldn't go. Oh, me. She went with Humphrey Bogart, and I wish I could remember who it was that directed The African Queen. Somebody. One of the great, they used to have great directors, too. But anyway, these two men went, and both of them drank all the time. She said to Dick Cavett, she said she didn't think Humphrey Bogart was an alcoholic, she just thought he liked to drink. And they both drank all the time, and so she said when she went, she said, well, if you're both to herself. She said, if they're both going to drink, I'm going to stay sober. So she drank the water and she got dysentery and she got so sick that she could hardly make the movie.
Oh,
so the day that the tree was going to be felled, she was supposed to go as soon as they finished shooting for the day. And she got just really sick in the middle of the shooting. She was playing the piano. It was a scene in the church and she was playing the piano and she got terribly sick. And they found all these snakes in the church and in the bathroom at the church, so she couldn't use that bathroom, and she knew she had to just go home. She couldn't go to this tree felling, so she said to Humphrey Bogart and the director, look, you've got to go for me, because these people are going to fell this tree at 4 o'clock for me, and somebody's got to go and say that I'm on my deathbed. So she said, I went home and I lay like this in bed, and my little doctor was sitting next to me, rocking back and forth. And Humphrey Bogart and the director went to see the tree fells, got caught in an electrical thunderstorm, got soaked to the skin. They went home with the woodcutter and drank all his liquor and took all his clothes, because they all put on dry clothes, and then they all came back to see her. Barged in drunk. It was such a spirited life. No. And like Dick Cavett said to her, he said, you know, I'm at the point, how old is Dick Cavett? He's 35 or 40 maybe. He said, I'm at the point in my life when I just am thinking about all the things I'm never going to do, and all the books I'm never going to read, and all the places I'm never going to see, and all the careers I'm never going to have. And Katharine Hepburn just looked at him and she said, what a lot of nonsense. You can't have everything, she said. Do one thing. And she's just got this positive attitude.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah.
No.
that's a great satisfaction, I would think. I couldn't get away with it.
Talked at great length about they wanted her to do Scarlett O'Hara and Gone with the Wind before they found somebody to do it, and I guess that was at one of the points when her career was really flopping. She had gone from a high salary to a low salary in a matter of a couple of weeks. And who directed Gone with the Wind? I don't remember. David O. Selznick, that's right. So he called her and he wanted her to do it, but she was too tall. She's only 5'7", but that used to be too tall for a lot of the men that she played with. Spencer Tracy was only 5'11", so he just barely made it, being taller than she was. And also, I guess that they thought that they should have an unknown or somebody. I can't imagine Katharine Hepburn doing Gone with the Wind, but anyway. So they still wanted her to do it, and so she said, look, you need to find somebody new to do this part, but I'll tell you what I'll do. If you haven't got anybody 24 hours before you're supposed to start shooting, you call me. The man that's making the costumes knows me. He can make my costumes in 24 hours, and I'll come and do the movie for you if you haven't found anybody 24 hours before. Dick Cavett was just watching her. He was in such total and starry-eyed the whole time. Really was. And she rattled him a couple of times, which is pretty unusual. He usually keeps pretty cool when he's talking to these people, but she got him rattled several times. He was he's a great fan of her, isn't he?
I think you said he's not hard to rattle. He rattles easy.
Well, I haven't seen him that much, but it seems to me that he doesn't rattle very easily on his program anyway. But of course, see, this was just an improvise. I mean, they're all improvised. He's just talking to people, but there's no script. But this, he wasn't expecting to do this. It was just on the spur of the moment. She said, well, I'll do this interview. And so she sat down and did it. And it wasn't scheduled. He didn't have time to get butterflies in his stomach about it or think about it too much, I guess, before he did it.
I can't imagine him getting butterflies in his stomach. As much he does, but I guess he does.
I'm sure he does. Yeah. One thing that kind of rattled him was, he said something about he'd heard that it about was it true or wasn't it true that producers and directors always made passes at you. And this again was sort of, I guess, the way the movie thing used to be. It wasn't like it is. I mean, now I guess producers do make passes at all the starlets. And Katharine Hepburn said, that's just a lot of nonsense. There's no truth in it at all. There's absolutely no truth in it. She said, nobody has ever made a pass at me, ever. And Katharine just looked at her. Not ever, he said. It was really funny. Oh, and another thing she said that was so funny. I mean, what a spirit. He said, now, you know, I understand. I'm not going to ask you any of the stupid questions like, would you do a nude scene or do you smoke marijuana or anything like that. I'm not going to ask you any of those things. And she said, well, I'm glad you're not. She said, I don't even believe in getting drunk. She said, I don't like to stumble around. I don't like to be out of control of myself. Stone cold sober, I'm fascinating. Oh, what a remarkable person.
She knows her own powers.
Yeah, she sure does. Stone cold sober, I'm fascinating.
And she doesn't mind whacking somebody.
No. Clobbered Peter O'Toole. Hit him.
Why?
She hit Peter O'Toole. They were making Lion and Winter, which was Eleanor of Aquitaine, and Henry the Fourth, was it, that she married? Henry the Second. And they were sharing a dresser, and it was Peter O'Toole's dresser, so he spent most of his time with Peter O'Toole. Katharine Hepburn was supposed to work in one scene, and he wasn't. Peter O'Toole wasn't, so she sent for the dresser. They were filming it in a castle in the south of France, and they had dressing rooms throughout the castle. And she sent upstairs for the dresser, and the dresser didn't come. So she sent again, and he didn't come. So she said, I got really mad. I was just furious. I just got mad, and I just walked out of my dressing room, and I walked up six flights of stairs to Peter's room, and I opened the door, and I walked in, and I hit him. I just fist him. You want me to show you how? She said, Dick Cavett stuck his face out. She hit him like that, you know. And she said, I hit him, and I said to him, the next time I send for the dresser, you send him. And she walked out, and she said, the next scene, Peter O'Toole came down to film the scene with crutches and his head all wrapped up.
Now, she could just keep that up all night, couldn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Just one after another.
And it was circumstantial too. It wasn't. I mean, she talked about, a lot of times she talked generally about, say, a group of producers or something. She'd say, oh, they're all marvelous people, or they're all wonderful people. But in general, she spoke specifically about people. Like, he asked her about Greta Garbo. He said, do you think Greta Garbo really did have that mystery? What was it that Greta Garbo had? Do you think she had something that no one else had? And Katharine Hepburn said, yes, but she thought Greta Garbo had a mystery on stage that no one else has ever had since. That it was sort of a photographic thing, that she exuded mystery when they filmed her. And she said that she's preserved it sort of by going into seclusion, whatever, retiring. And she said she knows her personally.
She wasn't overexposed, and she preserved some of it.
Yeah, I guess that would be it. She left before she made too many movies, I guess, wore herself out.
Well, in the reporting, of course, you know from experience that the feeling of the time is not retained in the time of reporting. I don't know what that would do to it, but that would, I've never faced a lot of these things, these autistic questions. But it's certainly you certainly could go along with it that it wasn't cut and dried, and it was exciting.
What they did.
Yeah.
Mhm.
And they had a feeling for things in the village, you know. And all. I like that little touch.
Yeah. And that she would pay attention to the things in the village.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They were all just so active, you know. They didn't sit around and wait to be photographed.
Well, now how would you say that? You see, you don't know what you're doing is balancing it against some other time, and you don't have any fixed time mind, do you?
Well, I can't. You know, you were saying last night, is there anyone today who has the same stature as Katharine Hepburn? And I can't think of anybody
well,
who does.
I wouldn't say exactly stature.
Well,
the
same vitality, I think.
Yeah.
She's
and unpredictable.
About something about the Academy Awards actors. Oh, I know. He asked her, you know, Marlon Brando won the Academy Award last year and he refused to accept it because of the Indian trouble at Wounded Knee, and sent an Indian girl to say that he wasn't going to accept the Academy Award. And so Dick Cavett asked her what she thought about that. And she said, well, she thought the whole thing was just stupid, that if Marlon Brando was not going to accept the Academy Award, he should just have withdrawn his name from the competition, that it was being childish to have your name in the competition and then to walk up and say you weren't going to take it. If you weren't interested in the competition, you shouldn't have your name in the competition at all. She said, either you're in this profession or you're not in this profession. Either you're in the Academy Awards or you're not in the Academy Awards.
Pretty direct approach, isn't it?
Yeah, she's very direct. She's 74, I think.
Well, as I see her, she's maybe 34.
She looks 50. She looks.
I didn't think about her being that old. I never thought about her either as being a great actress. She was always interesting, but not, you know, not one of the great ones.
I believe the reporting improved with, how would I say that? I can't say anything. Right. Reporting improved today's reporting improved. It's more interesting tonight than last night.
Debbie has thought about it a little bit. It's,
I should raise it so I laugh. But she was interested in it, and that was clear. I think you, I have a feeling Debbie is just innocent in it all, and a speaker has to be deliberate. You see, one of the things Mark Twain always talked about was the pause. If he was going to make a big point and get a big laugh, you see, the timing was something that just went like that. And he knew it, and he talked about it. The pause.
Mm-hmm.
You see. Well, maybe he didn't have too much art, but at least basically it was art. So, but you do that. Are you conscious of your...
I'm conscious that I always tell the punchline first. I always do that. I mean, I always tell what I should say for the last first.
You don't withhold anything?
No, it's very hard for me to withhold things. It is, I'm serious. I don't like withholding things.
But you like to talk. And you like to get talk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got no choice.
Be a little like cookies.
She's not as far along as cooking. Maybe in time she'll get delivered.
Oh, Dave.
But it was nice.
It sure was. I enjoyed it. I feel as if I've seen it.
Yeah, that's close I get to it. That's the big thing, you see. That is the big thing, you see. Now, that little thing I did for Phyllis, don't you know, on Mr. Galbraith? Well, you see, now why did I do that? I didn't have anything to teach or instruct her with or anything like that, except that's what makes the talk more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You can state your point, but you don't state it all at one time. And that's what Suzanne did in a little moment. Well, she stated, but you don't understand it all at one time. So it's partly it's a variation of the theme. See, they all report, even a little fictional. And then she goes along and she tells you little bits as she began to see that he was reporting. How nice it is. Now that's the thing that the learned people don't care for. They can't tolerate it. That is Emily Dickinson's Stairway of Surprise, which she used that term on the poem. And it's in the title of his book. See, she tells a little at a time until all at once you see it explodes in your mind as you see the revelation. But if you want to make your colleagues feel uncomfortable and cuss, you see, try that. See, that a little O'Connor thing that I did. Treatments of light, and it's not all said in one fell blow. And at the end, you see, it's just the assumption that the reader has followed it all along. But the thing about that is, it's really now that's the thing about this little thing. It's really that is really based on what we found out about the countryside. That's the man of the countryside. You see, that statements are very light. Very light. Sometimes don't even exist. But the experience that they turn to right off has its own direction. You see the direction in the experience, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And it looks to me like, and now that's all there is in that little thing on the corner. That's the whole art of it, if it may be said to have any art. Yes, sir. See, the first line, I would like to look at what Flannery O'Connor, what her feeling for the countryside is, and her handling of it. Now, I don't say that she overhandles it, and she has a strong feeling for it, possibly. I don't say that all at once, but little by little, you see, at the end, you got it. And it's not right, I don't think. I think a full statement of it, you see, to start with would just distort all your report. All you'd be doing there would be, now here's a little bit more evidence that she does it. Here's a little more evidence that she does it. And this way, you see, Your point is very light, and you're interested in the evidence. That's not sufficiently copious. Wording. Something that you know already. We've talked about 17 times.
What always surprises me is the cooking. It stays in. So I guess you can name most things. They do it naturally.
You know, one of the curious things is, we throw off on cooking, of course, but cooking always uses art.
Mm-hmm.
And all these college people.
I have seen him so full of news, and it could be drastic. Well, as a matter of fact, when he told us about his lungs, he came in just as nonchalant as anybody. And it wasn't until a good bit after the talk that he got into it. But you could, as I look back on the tape and as I look back on the night that he was talking, he spaced it. He said it when he thought we were ready for it.
Well, I'll tell you this in general. I won't go into it. I went to call on Reverend Lewis, and I waited too long.
Oh.
And his wife is doesn't have long. She's in the hospital, so she's not even with it. He's not even to be up to see her. And nobody was there when I came. Just one of his parishioners, not a friend. And then he remembered me.
Yeah.
Oh, he says, the recording, do you still have that? We went in and talked to him and taped it. And he said, yes, Dr. Miles. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And talked about his first wife, who was from Mississippi, and had a flare. And I thought I would get him going, you see, on some of the people he knew who had a flare and weren't just religious. But that was not his mind. He just said that he was there. He didn't have long. Wife didn't have, we had a very short time left. said he had the funeral in his mind.
Hmm.
He took a half an hour and went through the funeral.
Is that right?
And he sang some of the songs.
Why, Dad?
You could stop it. You're going by the hymnal.
Mm-hmm. First thing you know, he was singing about that house and the planning there, and his eyes were bright, and his voice was strong. All because, just like we've seen cooking time after time, talk brings him to life. And they just, if you get in a place like that, you got no one to talk to. You just talk to people on the wing, you know, you don't even know whether they hear you or not. How's your appetite? And he told me, and then he told about the experience of some of the people who weren't able to eat. And I brought up some of these additives, you know, they'd had in the stores, these high prices. And I just thought, now there's one thing you could have here to give you a little strength, and that's Gatorade. And it tastes good. And all you got to do is just hold the glass up and drink it. And I thought of that stuff you eat, that in a little cup.
Instant breakfast.
Yeah, I thought it was, what do you call that?
I know what you're talking. You mean today, what I was eating today?
Yeah.
Yogurt.
Yeah, yogurt. Is that nourishing or is it what?
Yeah, it's milk. It's just milk.
Yeah,
sour milk.
Yes, I didn't bring it up, but I thought of that. And I thought of several things. You see, that's, and I also talked to him about the tape. And I said to him, to me, the tape is something that lives. And I have lived with it so much myself, I never think of it in the Watergate connection as snooping. I wish I had ever sermon that you ever preached. And then I wish somebody had gone back stage with you and sat down and talked for half an hour on how come you didn't talk, gave that sermon. And he went right along with me. He
mm-hmm.
says, yes, that's just me that
mm-hmm.
you have.
Mm-hmm.
And you see? Mr. I made several contacts like that, but I've never made any with the Atlantic people. Never. The preacher, Miss Anna's preacher, when she died, it was her preacher. And I knew him for several years. And I went to him preach, and I made a few tapes of him. And he wanted me to make them.
Mm-hmm.
And so
he talked about him.
Yes, you see, he would sit and talk, and when the tape was on, he would talk, and he would put something into it. You see, he wouldn't be cautious. All this cautious stuff. I don't know where the learned get it, see. See, he was educated, but he wasn't learned. But he lived with his parish.
Mm-hmm.
somebody agree, and I bring them up. And you see, some of my best friends are this letter, and they don't go in for it. You see, they allergic to it. They don't practice it or patronize it or anything. Well, it's up to them. I've got all I need right now. Got more.
Yeah. Daddy, you mustn't wait too late.
Oh, it's only 7:45. Well, nothing's going to get me. What about,
6 feet 2 in line? You would like that?
I'll take that.
Brunette.
Oh, red hair.
What?
Well, I've done. Now, I left some tapes on the shelf there. I left the tapes of the family.
Yeah.
And I think their Barbara Long's tapes are there. And you want those done, don't you, or not?
Sure.
Okay. And then there's some tapes that I think are church services.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure what you wanted done with those.
Yeah. Does it have the thing on the front? It doesn't have a stick. It doesn't have a. I wrote on the box on the, some of them.
A lot of them, yeah.
Just pop it off.
On all of them, all the church services.
Sure.
Okay, and then are there any other tapes besides the ones that are there? What about there? I think there might be some on your desk that are recent. Well, that's what I have left to do now. I'm not sure when our cousins are coming. I don't know whether they're coming tomorrow or whether they're coming Sunday. But I can probably come back and finish so that, you know, finish taking the labels off. If Rick thinks he can start on Monday. Because
well,
Monday morning.
Monday.
When they're going to set up the time. It would be Tuesday, I suppose. Well, it's still, you wanted to do Mr. Weaver's tapes first. Was that it?
Well, it was just a small number of them, and they all, most of them together, because they're chief reasons.
Okay, if there are any, maybe we should look and see if there are any more of his in, on your desk, and then.
Oh, there is one of them in their little, oh no, you already got that one, right gone there.
I did that already. Mm-hmm. Oh, but you took it.
Yeah.
Did you put it back?
No.
Oh.
It's right in there, and I appreciate it.
Well, it's marked already, so that doesn't matter.
And that's the end of this visit. Let me see when that was. Oh, that was Friday night. That was Friday night, the 5th of October, 73. Friday night, the 5th of October, 73. And that's the end of these visits. I talked towards the end. Debbie reports on what she had already reported on the night before, the woman actress on that midnight show, and it seemed like Faye comes first. This Channel 1 over around 1700, this Friday, the 5th of October, 73.
So that's got to be done.
Yeah, how are you going to do that?
Like you suggested, cut them apart and paste, and then I can type it over.
Well, now you got them down this way, you got them down numerically in order.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think what you want to do is Xerox these and cut out the Xeroxes.
Well, it doesn't quite work that way, though, because some of See, what I took, like if there would be three different people on one tape, I'd list them separately on separate sheets of paper, so that every subject I have listed, I have a separate list for every subject of the reel and the track.
Of every person.
Mm-hmm. Of every person.
Oh, I see.
With the reel and the track.
Except it's just not in order.
Except it's just not in, it's not in chronological order.
Yeah.
It's in order by the tapes, the tape numbers.
Yeah.
But it's not in order by chronologically.
Well, so the only thing you have of what's on each of the tapes is just my old.
Is your, right, what was on the back. I have two copies of that. I made a carbon.
You didn't copy mine.
I copied what was on each track, who
yeah.
was talking, and the
but
date.
You didn't copy what's on each tape. You didn't copy it. What I had on the box.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, but you separated it. You didn't copy the whole thing.
I put the person, the date, the track, the machine, and if you said something like the quality of the tape, or if you said something like Mr. Weaver breaking corn with Harrison, I put it down.
Well, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the thing you got that I wrote.
Yeah?
Well, I mean an exact duplicate of that.
No, there's
that
no exact
I mean.
Duplicate
well,
of it.
Well, what I'm trying to say is that we need a duplicate of that. We need to Xerox those.
Okay.
And keep them separate places, you see. And then if your others, you get them in order. And one Xerox will do that then, because you'll have to, that'll make two copies. So you just Xerox that. The Xerox for our head. You see, you're doing it, and I'm just talking with you. But that'll give you two copies of both, in both forms.
Does that mean you're going to have to go back and retype all of them?
Oh, no.
To get it exactly as it is on Guy's sheet?
No, he just said Xerox, so I don't know. We'll see how it comes out. I think it's going to have to be something that somebody, like, I do it personally, because I don't know that a Xerox place would do them.
What you do, you just trip those on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Just put as many on a sheet as you can. I mean, can you put two or three?
Yeah, at least.
That's the only way to do it. We'll do that.
Somebody wrote on the box and said.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a few of the others. Oh, yes, this has gone through a lot of stages, mate.
You sure wouldn't want to misplace any of the labels.
No, they're not misplaced. They're all.
I mean, you took the label off of one to zero.
Well, that's the. Yeah, keep it. I have to write the. Because a lot of them were little, you know, the labels are little, so I stapled them onto sheets of paper and put the real number on the paper. I have to transfer it to the label.
So we're getting along. Is that something? Yeah, that will reduce your files a little bit too, won't it? If you put those things I had, the little sheets I had written out on the box, if you stapled 1, 2, 3, 4, I don't know how many would go on a sheet of paper.
The little ones you could get a lot on. But you there was a time when you were just using skinny paper about that wide.
Yeah.
A lot of those have gone. The other ones, I think, are wide enough so they'd almost just Xerox by themselves.
By themselves.
They're as wide as a box. A box. That's wide enough. They'd Xerox
well,
that.
The length of it.
They'd Xerox that.
Still go two. And then sometimes you can cut it off, but there's nothing there. The thing of it is, it just get, you know, just press it is the chief thing. Those cows were pretty up there when we came in. All of them up on the top of the world, on the top of the front pasture, just going for that crabgrass. Still, I just didn't realize they love crabgrass.
So, I didn't either.
You know, they broke through that fence over there, calves and cows. The calves did it, it was just much like for them as it was the cows.
We ought to know, we ran them out. I bet Pappy'd like to be with that crabgrass.
Oh, you know.
He complained and complained and complained when I let him out. He didn't complain till I let him out.
Yeah.
He saw the cow.
Yeah. Well, at least he's still alive. He's not half very mean.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's any consolation to him.
He and all the weanlings came up to get some water, and after they'd all had a drink, I shut them out so that they wouldn't sit on the other side of the fence and tap us. And so he got on one side of the lane and lay down, and they all got on the other side of the lane right across from him, and they all lay down.
Yeah.
They crossed the lane, all of them chewing their cuds, all of them had their eyes shut, and they were just as close as they could get.
You seen his 18th baby?
Yeah. The calf?
Yeah. I didn't see it.
She was there. She wasn't out or anything. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you've got a heifer calf in with the steers too. I'd check them.
Well, I've got several.
Oh.
There's just six over here, you know.
Oh. I thought you had them separated, heifers and steers.
Well, I tried to figure out.
Best
effort. And there wasn't much best to it. So I just picked out the better one. Honestly, I thought it was segregation of the sexes.
Well, when they're babies, you see, you don't care, and Patrick's not really.
Yeah.
Well.
Have a good time.
Okay, I'm gonna go on in.
It's a little late, I'm sorry.
It's only 8 o'clock.
Well, you still got time for the big carrot show.
Thank you.